Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
And with me in the studio is Elaine Carbines, the CEO of the G21. How are you, Elaine?
I'm well. How are you, Mitchell?
Very good. It's good to see.
A little hot, though.
It is.
I'm not ready for this really hot weather.
I know. It was interesting on the weekend. It was like a sudden burst of hot weather, and you had an hour of less sleep, and I think it just threw a few people off.
Yeah, I think so. I always find it hard at the start of the hot weather. I sort of feel really limp and washed out, but, you know, it was lovely to have a long weekend and to enjoy the sunshine. I think it was great for the tourism in the region. Lots of people out and about enjoying themselves.
So you're a big rap for the long weekend? Look, we should continue?
I was not sure beforehand. I didn't think it was necessary, and I probably don't think it was necessary, but boy, I enjoyed myself.
Yeah, that's true. That's the main thing, isn't it?
I think that's how a lot of people felt, like, oh, okay, I'm going to take it. I'll enjoy it. And it was just lovely to catch up with family and friends over the weekend. And
well,
the weather
good.
Was glorious.
Yes. Now, the G21 Stakeholder Forum was a success. It happened last month. Tell us about that.
Yes. Well, you know, you were there.
That's right,
so,
I was.
It was great to have The Pulse with us again, broadcasting live from the RACV Resort in Torquay. We had about 250 people attend, which was a record for us. Having that many people show an interest in the region and the future of the region is really, I think, gives you a great confidence boost about the region, that people are so passionate and engaged. We were delighted to have such excellent speakers. I think Virginia Trioli was a real standout, the ABC Breakfast News 24 presenter. I think she was very engaging and very candid with her views, and I think she really struck a chord with many people in the audience who were feeling a little disengaged with politics and over politicians and really, you know, political speak. And it was refreshing to hear someone speak so candidly. And, you know, she got quite emotional, didn't she, when asked about the role that the media plays in the whole refugee debate. And for me, that was the highlight of the day. But of course, we had some excellent political speakers as well. We were delighted to have Bill Shorten there. We had Richard Di Natale, the leader of the Greens, and Greg Hunt representing the new Prime Minister. I think the calibre of the speakers was very high. It was, you know, I think it showed yet again that interest that all the major parties take in our region, particularly Corangamite, as the election
hot. It's a strategic interest, isn't it?
It is a strategic interest. It's a vested interest, really, because they're all looking for support in the forthcoming federal election. It was great to hear from Claire Ames, the CEO of WorkSafe. Lovely to hear that they're actually going to be more jobs here than what were originally intended. It's a great outcome for people in our region who will be looking for work. And of course, it's not just the organisation itself, WorkSafe, that's relocating here, but they're actually going to build a new facility here, and that of course means construction jobs and money in our economy. And Brad Dunstan, the CEO of VCAM, it's really always refreshing to hear that manufacturing isn't dead, it's just changed.
Yes.
Very successful forum. I was thrilled with it. Delighted when it finished, because it takes a lot of work, and I know my staff listen to these segments. I'd like to thank all of them, especially NADA, for all the hard work that they put into the forum.
Yes, and it was great to meet them all as well, and they did a fantastic job. But even the politician, I think it was Bill Shorten, that said that it was unusual for all three parties and such high-profile people within those parties to converge on one location, and especially the fact that it was outside Melbourne, Canberra or Sydney. So that's a big tribute, I suppose, to the G21.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's recognised the role that we play in the region, you know, but I'm realistic. The region's important to all political parties. Similarly, last year, when we had our forum last year, we had the then Premier, Dennis Napthine, we had the Leader of the Opposition, Daniel Andrews, now Premier, and the Leader of the Greens, Greg Barber. So we are, you know, a key part of the political landscape, and we need to recognise that and make sure that they invest in us appropriately.
I thought it was interesting that the environment seemed to be probably one of the biggest issues that they covered.
Yes, that was very, very interesting. And I think probably belatedly, Mitchell, all political parties are now realising that ordinary people like you and me actually care about the environment. It has a much higher profile with ordinary people than it does with the political parties. But perhaps not the Greens, but certainly with the mainstream parties. And you know, I think on many issues, the population is ahead of the political debate.
Yeah, no, that's probably fair enough. Now, moving on to your G21 priority projects, and you've endorsed some new ones, and these are exciting.
Yes, well, you know, when we go into federal or state elections, we always have a list of priority projects that we're seeking investment in from the political parties. And last year with the state election, we managed to get 8 of our projects funded, which was fabulous. The board has decided to add some new projects to our list, and the first is a regional motocross facility. I'm not sure, Mitchell, whether you've followed this checkered debate about motocross in our region. You might be too young to remember, or maybe you actually rode on the former site at Breakwater before the new overpass was built. You can remember, can't you? There used to be a little motocross facility there, very popular with participants, but not so popular with the residents.
Yeah,
and then that closed, and a location was found in the Surf Coast Shire where there was an existing motocross facility called McAdam Park, and both Surf Coast Shire and City of Great Geelong collaborated to further develop that. That's had a very checkered history. The residents there near Ceres certainly didn't appreciate the plans to expand the development there.
Yep.
And it was overturned at VCAT. So unfortunately, for participants in the motocross sport, that park is closing at the end of this year. So what that means is that from the end of this year, people that like to, race in motocross, participate in that sport, will have no designated facility in our region. Now, you might say, well, why is that important? It's important because, without a designated facility, people are still going to look for places to actually ride their bikes. And what we don't want to see is illegal riding in our national park, the Great Otway National Park, and other locations across the region. Of course, an illegal riding on roads, it's very, very unsafe.
Yep.
So it's important to the whole region to be able to locate a new facility and construct a new facility for the future of this sport, because it's not just our own residents that participate, it's also people that travel to our region to take part in this sport. So we're elevating the profile of this issue by listing it as a priority project for G21.
Now, that's a very good point about trying to keep people away from doing it in illegal areas or areas where, the area around could be quite volatile. And you're still trying to find a location that hasn't been identified.
That's right. There hasn't been a preferred location identified yet, but I'm confident that will occur. Of course, it has to be done in consultation with the community. It's really important that, that people have a say and that are happy to have a motocross facility located where it's not going to impinge on too many residents.
Yeah, presumably it's a long way from civilization where it's going to be. So they can do it at any hour of the day or night.
So you're a motocross rider, Mitchell?
No, I'm not. You might be able to tell.
I don't know. I don't think there's a profile for motocross riders. It's mainly blokes, though. I know that.
I think it might be, yes. Now, the Armstrong Creek Regional Active Open Spaces, what's that?
So, as you know, Armstrong Creek is the urban growth node for the City of Greater Geelong. 3 or 4 years ago, there was virtually no one living in Armstrong Creek. We now have well over 3,000 residents. And the whole vision for Armstrong Creek is to have a community where the facilities and the infrastructure are in place as the community grows. Too often in the past, new estates have been developed, which have basically been in like wastelands where there've been no public infrastructure at all. And the vision for Armstrong Creek is to have those facilities in place. So a key part of an active community is to have active open space. And so the City of Greater Geelong have developed considerable plans to have 2 areas of open space in the Armstrong Creek precinct, one in the east and one in the west, where sports facilities can be developed. We have a vision to have our region the most active in the country. We need to get our people out and about and enjoying physical activity, not necessarily organised sport, but to be able to have the opportunity to participate. And it's much easier if people have those types of facilities near where they live. People don't like, there's not much point travelling a long way to get out your car and kick a footy. Yeah. So, you know, people want to be able to recreate near where they live. So this is all about planning and constructing new active open space places in Armstrong Creek.
And a regional soccer synthetic pitch at the Corio Leisure Time Centre is the third one.
That's right. We've done a G21 regional soccer strategy. Soccer is a really exciting sport that's growing rapidly throughout the region. Many, many participants, and a lot of girls and women play soccer. And we need more facilities that are all-weather facilities. And this is to have a synthetic pitch at the Corio Leisure Time Centre. We're really keen to see this supported. It's in a community, obviously Corio and Norlane, that hasn't had a lot of infrastructure investment over the years, and it's really important that that this facility is built. It will become a regional facility, so people will enjoy the opportunity to play soccer on a synthetic pitch at Corio Leisure Time Centre.
So those are three interesting priority projects, and they go on to the list, and with the previous priority projects as well.
That's exactly right. So we've got a list now of 17 that we're already talking to politicians about, and that, you know, as they do, they'll pick the ones that they think are going to secure them the most votes.
Yes, now I remember that last year where there were a lot of question marks, and slowly they got filled in, didn't they?
They did, and we publicised that scorecard in the approach to the election, so people in our region know which parties are backing our community the most.
And Port Arlington Harbour tenders are being called?
Yes, this is very exciting. This is a project that's dear to my heart. I've worked on this project now for well over a decade. When I was a Member of Parliament, when I worked at Parks Victoria, I led the community consultation over Port Arlington Harbour. It's a project that is almost unique in that it has pretty much 100% support from the local community to see this project go ahead. The locals are very excited about the harbour being redeveloped. It's not a safe harbour at the moment. It's the infrastructure is significantly aged, although the state government has built a new pier recently. But the harbour remains unsafe because it's subject to very high winds and very high seas. So the vision is to sort of enclose the harbour with breakwaters and the pier. And the state government promised over $13 million at the state election to bring this vision to reality. The money was allocated in the first budget in May for it, and now Parks Victoria have called for tenders to commence the construction of the harbour. So we're hoping that a decision will be made late this year as to the preferred the successful bidder, and construction will start pretty early in the new year. And one of the things that I'm involved in is actually talking to the community about that to make sure everyone's informed of what's going on and when the construction will commence. I know it will cause a lot of interest in Port Arlington. It will be the hot topic.
Yeah, I think it definitely will be. And new schools in the G21 region have been fast-tracked.
That's good to hear. One of the key things that we went into the state election arguing for was increased investment in education in our region. We were particularly keen to see a P-12 school built in Bannockburn. That's an area that has no secondary school. In fact, in the Golden Plains Shire, there's not a single secondary school. So every child that lives in that shire has to travel out of the municipality to go to school. And with Bannockburn being one of the fastest growing parts of the state, growing around about 8 or 9% per annum, it's really important to have you know, have educational facilities in place. It's hard if you have to get up really early and get on a bus and travel into Geelong or into Ballarat for secondary school, and then you're home late, and then you go do your homework, and, you know, it's yeah. hard slog. So we're really pleased to know that, that the construction, planning and construction for that school is being fast-tracked, as with the planned schools in Armstrong Creek, including the Armstrong Creek Special School, which is exciting, and the North Geelong Special Development School and the Torquay North Primary School. So, you know, this region is growing very steadily, but certainly Torquay, Jandakot and Bannockburn are growing more rapidly than the rest of the region. Lots of young people. Bannockburn has the highest number of preschoolers per head of population in the state. So, you know, those sorts of facilities, kindergartens, primary schools, going on to secondary schools are really important to families, that's for sure.
Very interesting. Yeah. And you've got a G21 Health Literacy and Disability Forum coming up.
Well, we're thinking we're going to have to postpone this forum. We're having a meeting today. We've unfortunately, this has clashed with a forum that the National Disability Insurance Authority is already organising. So, you know, we're really targeting the same audience. So we'll be making a decision today in relation to that forum. It's certainly an exciting topic, and we want to be supporting our not only our community disabled community, but also the service providers for our disabled residents in our region. So we will postpone this event. I'm pretty confident that will happen today. So please stay tuned for further notice about that one.
But it will still be going ahead, just at a different time.
Yes,
probably.
That's right. Yep. Absolutely.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming in. Really appreciate it. We'll see you on the first Tuesday in November.
You will. Thank you very much. Oh, yes. And last year, I think I might have picked the one who came second.
That's right. So we're listening to you very closely.
I've got no idea,
and we'll
really.
We'll be spending our money accordingly.
You know what? I did win the G21 footy tipping contest.
Oh, really?
This year. Yeah. So
you
normally my name's
yourself
on the wooden spoon, so I'm bragging about it while I can.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Thank you very much. Elaine Carbine's there, the CEO of the G21. It's 10 to 10. We'll go to a break. Trent Geddes, our program technical commentator, with us next.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.